Blog Talk Radio.
Paul's Photo is your local camera store, no matter where you live. In Torrance at Hawthorne and Pacific Coast Highway, or online at paulsphoto.com, we've got the cameras and video gear that you need to slam your next assignment, your next vacation, your next job, or just your next time. We've got the expert advice to help you, the budding wrestler and creator, to make amazing videos, to get recognized on YouTube. Our classes at Creative Photo Academy will help you rock it. They'll get you the knowledge you need and inspire you to be a top 10 performer. Even the Hulk loves to come here and get his photos processed in the lab, where we can scan old photos and videos, get them to you online, and help preserve your memory. Paul's Photo is the greatest place to get your photos taken care of.
Even the Hulk gets his stuff done there. You know, real quick for the people, listeners, you're here, you're at UWC Radio. Don't forget, you can go to UnitedWrestlingCouncil.com to check out all the latest information. Got to do the WrestleCon wrap-up show. I had to leave a little bit early on the Sunday before, so we didn't get to do a wrap-up show, which is kind of good, because then we know for sure this one will go out, because we still got to upload crap, and it was way more than I expected. But on the line with me, I'm going to be hanging with us for the full hour, Sonia Ariana Marquez y la derecha sin izquierda. Sonia, how are you? Everybody got a little sick, you know?
Yeah, me and Jello are sick. I don't know if it's because of the wind or, just coming home from being around all those people. But, I've been sneezing and my nose is messed up.
And, you know, we're going to get into it and talk about it, but, you know, I since I came back, because just to have that weekend, all 3 days, I had to do a lot of shuffling and a lot of moving around and stuff like that. Hang on one second. Sparkless. I barely made it to get here to do the, because, you know, I'm maneuvering around. Last Thursday was supposed to be my last show. So I had to maneuver around and do a bunch of stuff to be able to get here. So I walk in the door. I'm getting everything booted up. All I see is a big-ass chocolate. So I ate that. And real quick, there used to be this nurse. Her name was Jan, okay, when I used to work in pre-op recovery. We're talking, I'm going to say 2007. And she really had no filter. So we were working. It was so hot. I couldn't see. There's a little thing that hangs off the air conditioner so you can see if it's blowing or not. And I'm sitting there, I'm going, man, I am sweating up a storm. She goes, it's because you're fat. Fat people sweat. So I said, okay. So then she was, and if it was only me, I would be mad, but it wasn't, because then we were talking about buffets one time, and we're saying, oh, you know, when we go to Vegas or whatever, I said, oh, have you ever been to this buffet? And I said, it is awesome or whatever. I said, but honestly, I'm not hard to please or whatever. And she looks at me, she goes, obviously. she was on my ass. So when I ate that, I go, God, good thing Jan's not here. So hang on one more second. Sorry, I got to do this on the air. Sparklets, when you get a chance, can you come here, please? Sparklets to the main broadcasting area. You know what the main broadcasting area is, right? So anyways, I had to rush, but I really wanted to do it. Manny's supposed to call in, at the 3-minute mark, which already came and gone. But, you know, we wanted to get him on first. Nicolette Marie's going to come in about the 7:30 hour so we can talk about that. So, we'll just get right into it. I mean, I'm telling you, I thought it was all bad. Oh, you know what, bro? I've been to the Lucha Expo and I've been to, you know, the Jiu-Jitsu Expo and worked there and blah, blah. I had no idea how much work that it was going to be at this thing. I'm like, all right, cool. You know, we'll maybe do a couple of interviews here and there. And then we'll, get a little break so I could walk around and talk to some people and meet or whatever. But dude, it was work from the time we got there till the time we left. So you were actually there the day before to help do set up and tear down. So talk about that first day Thursday.
Yeah.
I mean,
please,
for the people who couldn't see it on Instagram, tell them how much was there, because we had two tables and all kinds of junk.
Yeah, me and Jello got there on Thursday. Jello's here, by the way.
Oh, good.
Hello.
So, yeah, we got there Thursday about 3, and then Maddie wasn't there yet, so there was a hassle checking in.
Oh, what a coincidence.
At that point, too. And then, but while we were waiting in line, we met Rikishi, so that was cool. And then when we went up to the room, we were chilling. Yeah, there was a line, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there's people like at 3. That's when everybody's checking in, so it was very packed at that time. Yeah, he was right behind us in line.
I can imagine. So,
and then,
what time did Maddie
came
get there?
Maddie got there about like 9-ish, and then when we came downstairs to meet Maddie, we saw Mankind. Well, Mick Foley.
Oh.
He was Mick Foley at that point. And then he ran for me. I asked him, I was like, hey, can I get a picture with you? He's like, yeah, hold on, I'll come right back.
Oh.
And then next thing I know, he's running to the elevators. So he probably wanted to make me pay.
Now, when we say run, about how fast?
It was actually pretty fast, huh, Jello?
Yeah, he was already at the elevator.
So he can move fast when he wants to.
Yeah, he can.
He's pretty fast for an old man.
So you guys got there at 8 and Manny didn't get there till 9. Is that what you're saying?
No, we got there at 3 and he didn't get there till
9 p.m.
Yeah.
Oh my God, you got to be. So no wonder you guys had to be. So did you have to do most of the setup, or could you just set up the table and find out where you were?
No, I went down and just checked the spot, but I didn't have nothing to set up until he got there, so we had to wait for him anyways.
Hold on a second.
So, but when he got there.
Go ahead, Sonia.
When he got there, then we started setting up, and we stood up for like an hour, and then they closed it at 10:30, and then we had to wait till the morning to finish up.
What do you call it? Okay, I'm sorry. So he got there. So he got there at 9 o'clock, and you guys were only allowed to stay there till 10 o'clock, and then you guys had to go up to your rooms.
Yeah, like 10:30, and then we went up to our rooms, and then we finished.
Oh my God!
Like they wanted to open back up at 6:30, but we didn't end up going down till like 9.
Well, what do you call it? When I got there, everything was already done, and I mean, you know, I got to tell you, man, Manny and I fight constantly because you know I'm the one that tries to keep him on a budget. You know, when we have a show coming up, we sit down, we have a budget, we try to get certain things, you know, together or whatever, but you know, we fight, you know, because Manny's like, no, I got to be able to do this, or I got to be able to do that, and then I'll come home and I'll go, I have no idea what's wrong with him. I tell him, and he does it anyways, and then at the end of the thing, I'm like, you know what, bro, you know, Clark Connors was right across from New Japan, and he even told me, he goes, dude, that is a setup and a half of ass. Right there, because you could see that from a mile away. And the whole time in my mind, I'm thinking, God dang, Manny was right again. Whatever. So, real quick, Manny, is
we
that
had
you?
We had the highest banners.
Our booth was like...
Caller,
who's
there?
Like causing
hello.
Hang on one second. Who's on the line? I'm sorry.
Konnichiwa. What's happening? Manny.
Hey, we were just talking about now how did you not get there on Thursday till 9 o'clock?
How did I get there?
Yeah.
So 9 o'clock Thursday night. We had a little family emergency.
Mm-hmm.
So of course family comes first.
Yeah.
You know. And then you know, after that, what happened is actually I'm at work right now. My mother ended up going to emergency, so that's why we ended up running late.
Dude, I got there. I was there by 7 o'clock on Friday, and everything was already set up. So how did that get set up so fast? Did you just snap your fingers?
I made a phone call. I made a phone call at the hotel, and they hooked me up.
Oh, okay. I got to tell you, Manny, we were just, for the people listening to us here at UWC Radio, Manny Pinson himself is on the air with us, talking a little bit about WrestleCon and just starting to get into it. So before you came on, Manny, I don't know if you heard or not, but you know, we're starting to put everything all together. First of all, okay, I thought it was all, you know, Chingon and everything, and I'm like, dude, I got this down. You know, I've done Lucha Expo, I've done Jiu-Jitsu Expos and all that, but I had no idea that it was this many people. I mean, it was work from the time we got there till the time we left. I got there at 7 o'clock on Friday, just enough time to get everything going or whatever, and then we headed over at about 8 o'clock when it opened. And I don't know about you guys, but people are already starting to come in and start checking out the booths and all that. I don't think if they snuck past the staff or whatever, but they were already there and ready to go. So let's take it around the horn. I mean, my overall thing, because we're barely talking about the first day here, was I was overwhelmed at how much traffic, you know, was coming through and how many people were there. So, Manny, what about yourself, man? Did you expect that? I mean, you said, yeah, I'm going to get two tables because I know we're going to have a lot of stuff. You know, you bought those big banners and even the ones on the side, they go all the way up or whatever. So when I walked through and saw it, I mean, you could see it from a mile away, which was very smart because everybody was saying, dude, we say, hey, bro, come to the UWC booth, and bam, they were right there or whatever. So, Manny, I mean, do you have experience in that stuff or whatever? Because how did you know that 18,000-foot banners would be necessary so people would see you, or did they just come to you and you did it?
Well, being in the entertainment business for many years and watching promotions, you know, other promoters, yeah, and all that, I kind of picked it up. You know, Danny, as well as working as a bodyguard, you know, you see a lot of things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And being a promoter itself, you know, you learn a lot from other promoters.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a shot that we all have to take, you know.
Yeah.
Make it or break it. You know?
And did you?
It's just not me. I had a good crew. I have a good crew working for us. You know, we all, you know, got together and did the best we could, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And this is our first, my first as an owner convention, you know, and I was surprised, you know, myself, how many people actually show up to these and all that. But you know, overall, I mean, we did okay. But man, it was awesome to see all these people coming in and then have all these big names come into our booth and interview them.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
Right.
And all that has to do with the good crew going out, you know, talking to them, spreading the word, and them actually walking down and checking our booth out and then being interviewed, you know. So
right.
I give props to everybody that was there helping us out, you know, and the wrestlers that showed up.
And the thing I didn't expect a lot of that. I expected the guys that, like those guys that put out books and stuff because they want to plug their products and all that. But then what we had going for us, okay, is I think we were the only ones that were coming there live and you know, taping everything to broadcast it out later. There's a few people who had like cameras and junk that were doing stuff like that. But when they came and we say, hey, well, why don't you send, well, let's say, for instance, Nia Jax or whatever, and if you want to, we'll plug your stuff, because a lot of them pay for those wrestlers or whatever to be there. So, yeah, we'll plug it. And we did it. And it legitimized us just that much more as a company and as a podcast, because they were like, bro, you know, if they went up to Nia Jax and said, hey, this UWC wants me to do it, yeah, bro, go over there, dude. Other than Nia Jax snapping my mic stand, that was you know, great to get these people in here. But you know that what I took away from this, and we're going to keep going on and talking about the days, the you know, day 1, 2, and 3, was how productive it was. I mean, because we just kept going. I mean, I was the second day, I think I had to go upstairs. You know, when you chew tobacco, your mouth gets dry. So I thought, okay, I could take a break and go get some water. No, that shit didn't happen. I mean, it was just one right after the other. And I got so dehydrated that I spasmed up when I got to the room, because I didn't know that it was that busy. I went up to my room. to go snake the bottle of waters that they give you up there. And before I could open the door, Maddie was like, bro, we got two people waiting for you. Dude, what are you doing? I'm like, Armin, let me just grab a bottle of water, then I'm on my way back down. So that, again, it's like, Sonia, did you think we would get that many people? Because you got us that girl that just signed with AEW. So, I mean, I didn't think we were going to even get her, but they just actually all came on, right?
Yeah, like, it was really cool. I didn't expect to have that many people. We had, like, what, at least 10 a day?
Yeah, it was so many people. I took my small recorder, and that got filled up the first day easily. So I had to go home and get my laptop and come back and do the laptop, which was pretty cool because with the laptop I was able to go live and the people could hear it as we were doing it. So that was cool. And then, you know, now we have it all ready to be taped for broadcast. So the big question, because, Manny, I know you're at work, and now that before we let you get out of here, it really worked out. I got to be honest, and I tell this all the time to people. I fight with Manny all the time. I go, dude, what are you doing, bro? And then I have to go, dude, you were right, man. People were saying I couldn't miss your booth because of those big banners and stuff like that. So, you know, since it was so successful, and we did get a lot of experience, you know, I kind of learned that this mic worked better. It's better to take the laptop so you're always learning. So I'll know, you know, next time we do one, what exactly to bring. What about yourself? What did you take out of that, you know, as far as like learning and say, well, next year I'm going to do this different or that different?
Well, every year is going to be different, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it all comes down to, like I said, we're having a good crew, you know. And you know, I can't do it without you guys. And that's just being straight up, you know. We have a family in UWC, you know.
Right. Yeah.
And that's the main thing. It's the family itself. My family, you know, Pistol Pete's family, Danny. You know, family and whatnot.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's a family thing. It's just not a business. It's a family thing, you know.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you and I butt head a lot. Danny, you're like my second wife, you know. Yes, you're. But, you know, it's all good, you know, because it's not like I don't listen. I do listen, you know.
Yeah.
And I go, you know what? I got to go for it. You know.
Yeah.
And it's just about, hey, make it or break it.
But none of us are getting rich off of this. We all have to work a regular job. And I work, you know, work hard for my money, and I know Manny does too. So I'm always like, dude, well, we could do this for this, and we could do, you just wait, bro, or whatever. And then he's like, nah, you know what, it's gonna be better if we do this, whatever. And in my mind, I'm thinking, all right, you know, whatever. And then I go, God, it's been more than a few times that I've had to say, dude, you were right. I was telling him, I don't know if you heard before we got on the air, Clark Connors, who's one of the guys from New Japan that was right across from us, he said, yeah, bro, that was pretty awesome, dude, just to be able, you know, to sit in that booth with all the stuff around it and getting the word out there about how I re-signed with New Japan and all that. So it benefited us in that way to where they know, you know, that it's a legit thing that's happening or whatever. So I think all in all, that it really, really made a difference. Now, Sonia, I mean, what do you think? Because you were there with us all day, too. I mean, it's just like nonstop or whatever. What about next year? You think there's anything we can improve on or anything that, you know, we got to take away from? Other than Enzo Amore cutting a massive-ass fart and trying to blame it on everybody else and walk away. I mean, I think that was the low light. But other than, because everybody was friendly, even the guy next to us, you know, from Jersey, everybody was really cool.
Yeah, everybody was really cool. I don't know what I would do different because it went really great.
Yeah.
But it was our first one, so we had to get our name out there. I think the next one will be more known, and it'll be even better.
Yeah. Manny, you think if we got a corner spot, because we were right up front, but it's very limited. Yeah, you're very limited in space, but it seemed like the guy who made the belts, he was in the corner, and he had a lot of space, you know, to the left of him or whatever. It seemed like we could have, like, made the tables, like, butt heads or whatever, like in a V almost, and then we would have had that whole back section. Maybe, I don't know. It just seemed like it or whatever. Manny, what do you think?
I kind of like where we were at because once you walk downstairs, you know, and before you go,
we're right in the middle.
See my feather banners, you know.
Yeah.
And everybody, you know, people walk by, they looked at the banners, they took, you know, you have people taking pictures of it and whatnot, you know.
Yeah.
So I'd rather be in front instead of behind, you know. I could always buy another space,
you know, to make our area bigger, you know. But
yeah,
we'll see next year, you know.
Yeah, because
this
was
a tester on how what
yeah
we did, you know.
Yeah, you live and learn. Because it would be nice to have, you know, like a almost like a little small studio type of thing so that they're easy to get in and out or whatever. But, you know, you don't know until you actually do it or work. Because not only did Naya snap my stand, but she slammed into Juice Robinson. Juice Robinson was right behind us, and she like shoulder blocked him. And now he's like, "Oh!" And she's like, "Oh my God, I'm so sorry." And she goes, "No, I'm okay." I was like, "Damn, that was." But he was so nice. He was like, "No, bro, it's okay. I'm sorry, bro. You know, whatever." So there was nobody there who was a total jerk or whatever to me. There,
yeah,
there was a few,
was cool,
which I can understand. There was a few wrestlers that were like, bro, I can't do this and that. You know, I can't take this picture because, you know, somebody brought me here and I'm on his dime, so I can't do it. That I get. That, you know, you can't help that. So, you know, we had, you know, a lot of the guys came down on their own dime, you know, to come and support. You know, so that's pretty cool because they want to make sure they were there and it was a happening, especially after that first day and they saw what it was like. Everybody wanted to come down, so they were even coming down on
yeah
their own dime to come and do it. So that shows that they know, you know, that it's a happening and it's good to go. So, Manny, I gotta take the break so I can get the commercials and stuff in. So, any last words before we let you get out of here?
I just like to thank everybody, our crew and whatnot, that showed
uh-huh
up and support our company, our wrestlers, WrestleCon,
yeah,
the hotel itself, Biltmore,
the Biltmore, yeah,
you know, Biltmore Hotel. They, everybody there was great. They treat us very, very, very good, man. And
well,
I can't say, yeah,
dude, you can seriously pat yourself on the back because, well, we're gonna talk about it in the next segment. I have been inundated with emails and messages going, bro, the show on April 30th, how can I get there? I'm directing them to, you know, to the website, hit the QR code or whatever, because it generated a lot of buzz. Here we go again. I'm like, Manny, did you get the belt? They'll be here, bro. They'll be, and I'm panicking like a little girl. And same thing, I go, God, Manny, this is all you need. Nah, bro, I got to make sure that when those belts came on that third day, dude, people were like, bro, this is what it's all about or whatever. So that even generated a lot of buzz as far as, like, they want to come and see the show because they saw Chaz with the belt. They saw Santana and Guyam fighting over the trophy and stuff like that. So I think, honestly, and it's not just because Manny's on the phone and we're here on the air or whatever, I'm sure it's going to sell out because it just really helped to make the show on April 30th a big buzz. So props to you, Manny. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I had to get that in there because that's what's been happening.
Thank
go
you,
ahead.
Thank you. And like I said, brother, it's just not me. It's everybody that's part
yeah
of the team. That's what makes this company go to the team. You know, I can't take full credit for everything because
uh-huh
it's a team, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's how it makes it work, you know.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's everybody putting their two cents in and whatnot, you know.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think I'm listening, but I'm always listening, you know. And then I talk to the wife at home or whatnot, you know. And my daughter,
yeah,
you know, Anna, you know, she has a lot to say too, you know.
And the people don't understand that it doesn't stop there. I mean, Easter Sunday is this Sunday, but Manny and I got to meet at 9 o'clock on Sunday because we got this going on, and we have to order some more chairs, and we got to, you know, it doesn't stop. The ball keeps on rolling, so I'm telling you, people, you got to come down and check out the show on April 30th. Man, it's going to be huge. It just continues to grow, so it's going to be awesome. So, Manny, a million thank yous, bro, for taking care of us, you know, and being the host with the most or whatever. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll continue talking, and then we're going to get Nicolette Marie in here, talk about her interactions with FTR and the guns and stuff like that. So, Manny, we'll see you really soon. All right, my man?
All right. 10-4. You guys be safe out there. Thank you very much.
A million thank yous, bro. I'll see you on Sunday morning.
10-4.
All right, bro. We'll be right back. Hang on, everybody. You know, big ups to Manny for coming on and talking to her. But there's one thing that I took away from this, because Sonia's got PG Jello with her, right? So they're like,
yeah.
Hey, who is all, you know, this is my daughter, blah, 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 whatever. So what I got a lot of was, dude, how did you score such a hot wife? And I go, who are you talking about? And they pointed at Nicolette, and I go, dude, that's my daughter. And they're like, bro, I thought you came up or whatever. I said, dude, I'm not rich or nothing like that. But I got a lot of that. I got a lot of that over that weekend. I mean, it seems silly because, you know, we all know each other or whatever. People are like, bro,
yeah,
is that you and your wife walking to Starbucks or whatever? Like, no, my wife's at home. I couldn't stop laughing. So I'm a caller. Get her on the line with us right here so we can talk a little bit about, you know, meeting people or whatever.
X-Pac got lost and he couldn't remember where the Regency room was. So he was like, hey, where's the Regency room? So I was like, it's this way. So we're like just walking with him talking and we're just talking about Jello and her training and her coach. And it was really cool.
Yeah, and I saw him, like, looking at his phone, and he had his suitcase or whatever with him looking all around, you know, or whatever. Like, dude, but real quick, on the line with us right now, Nicolette Marie, how are you?
Hey, Fabi, I can hear you, too. I'm doing well. Thank you.
You know, I want to talk about, you know, WrestleCon and stuff and you actually being my daughter instead of my wife or whatever. But, you know, the show's right around the corner, and it's – you know, it's turning out to be a lot bigger than I expected. It just seems, and it was funny because I was talking to Chaz on that last day, and I go, dude, it's like the stars are all like in line. I go, it just happened. WrestleCon just happened to be a couple of weeks before, you know, the big show on April 30th. You know, it's my last match. I'm retiring, even though nobody believes it. But then, you know, all of a sudden, the matchup was Santana and Jimmy Mayhem, you know, wrestling for the cup against Guyam and Silver Tiger. And then we got the belt, and it's the end all to be all. So it's going to be Drew Masters against Chaz. And it just seemed like everything just lined up just perfect to make this show huge. So before we get into talking about WrestleCon, you kind of feel that, Nicolette? Because, you know, we spent a lot of time together, and you've been, hey, such and such wants tickets, such and such wants to know. I mean, it just snowballed from there, right?
Oh, sure. And I feel like each time the shows get better and better, and I'm thankful that I've been able to be a part of every one. One of them I sat out as a fan, but it's so cool to see UWC grow, and every time it gets better.
Yeah. I don't know if you've been checking on social media, but on the Instagram, some company called Wrestling California or whatever put up the spot when you and Candy Girl went at it at the old Metroflex gym or whatever. So I guess people are asking.
Yeah, I remember.
Asking about it. Yeah. So they put, so it's kind of like the rematch with a little bit things being different, you know, because it's myself, Azriel, and Nicolette against Candy Girl, Guy Cool, and JBD. So it's a big mixture.
Bobby,
now,
let me tell you this.
Go for it.
I was on social media yesterday, and Candy Girl released all of her dates for what she'll be wrestling for the month of April. So every weekend she's booked up, but she forgets April 30th. So I commented on it, and I said, April 30th, Hawaiian Gardens United Wrestling Council. So she forgot to post it, but again, I respect her as an opponent, everything. She's booked up every weekend in April, and I have her for April 30th. So she's still popular in demand.
That's great, because she's going to get body slammed by me just for that, just for doing that. But I got to tell you, when I talk about things falling into place, and Chaz and I would, and I kept going, Chaz, I go, dude, we need that second match, bro. You know, it's getting late, blah, 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 whatever. And then when the stars again fell in line and we booked Rickster against Guerrero Nuclear, I went, oh, my God, the hit. You know, that match alone, when we first, you know, got it set in stone, I told Nicola, I said, you know, we got to up our game. I said, because Guerrero Nuclear against Rickster is going to blow the roof off that place, and we're following it. I said, so we really got to step up our game, and it just keeps coming. So real quick, give me your thoughts on that, because, you know, Guerrero Nuclear is a bad dude. I saw him wrestle at OCCW against Inferno, and I'm like, dude, this, I knew who he was, but I'm like, this dude's got something. So then when Chaz brought Rickster in, I said, that's a big step up for this kid. So it's going to be huge. I mean, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Oh, for sure. You know, to me, when I categorize people, I say, oh, this person's Japan strong style. This person's lucha. This person's American. And for me, when I see Nuclear, he's like the definition of lucha.
Exactly. Exactly. And Sonia, let me put it this way. I called him, it took us a while. I've been wanting to get him for a while. So when I finally got it and made that call, I'm like, hey, bro, you know, it's Fabi. We definitely want to book you. And usually I get, well, how much? Well, I can't. But you know what he said? All right, bro, give me the time of the day. And it's just, no problem, bro.
Yeah.
All right, I'll see you then. Bam. That was it. No questions asked. He just
That's
wants
what he
to be
said
there.
When I first talked to him.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's just amazing how this show has gotten put together. So for the people listeners, don't forget Sunday, April 30th, it's going to be a huge show, man. Everybody already knows about it. If you want to go to UnitedWrestlingCouncil.com to get the information, get your buds over there for sure and check it out. Now, okay, I don't know. The first day we got there, we went to Starbucks when we went to WrestleCon. So PG Jello and Sonia, oh, well, can you grab this for us? What I do? Just take my car, blah, 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 whatever. All right, cool.
Yeah.
So we walked up to the hill. It's right across the street. So we're like, cool. So went over, we got some coffee and stuff. I had a sore throat from just talking so much, which I know you guys can't believe that, but so I had to get a medicine bowl to warm up the pipes or whatever. So we get back and everything. But when we went the next day in the morning, it was closed. It's closed on Saturday and Sunday. So
that's so weird.
We had to walk a totally different corner that was all uphill on the way back. So we ran into FTR there. They were getting coffee and stuff like that. So I approached them and I'm like, hey bro, you know, we got a booth, dude. We would really like to get you on, even just for 5 minutes. You can plug whatever you want. They're like, bro, we'll try, but you know, the guy that brought us down, and you know, we're not allowed to because they're charging us. I said, well, you tell him I'll plug all his stuff if he wants to. He said, okay. So they didn't necessarily blow me off, but they just kind of like, yeah, you know, whatever. Now, Nicolette Marie, on the other hand, ran into them in the elevator, and Nicolette Marie, tell us what happened in the elevator.
I kind of recognized them from when you would talk to them at Starbucks, so I didn't even approach them at Starbucks, and then I guess we were all staying on the same floor, and I left a little bit later, and then I saw them walking, and I was like, I'm going to try to jump in the elevator with them, but I was like, I don't know if they're going to, like, close the doors on me, because I kind of expect to get denied, like, I think automatically everything will work, and even though I like see my friends, I read all their stuff and they were like, oh, my friends are charging this much for a photo. So I would ask my friends like, hey, I don't want to get you in trouble. I know somebody sponsored you. Is it okay if I take a photo with you? Sure. Yeah, no problem. Okay, great. So I saw them and they were like chit chatting. And then as soon as the elevator doors closed, they said, I don't want to get you guys in trouble, but can I take a photo with you guys? And Dak said, we'll get in trouble. And he said, I'm just kidding. Go for it. So, but I already had like the Snapchat camera up. So I just like did like a quick like click. And he was like, whoa, girl, give me a warning. I was like, oh, but I think that was like the dad in him, like the inner dad. Cause I always see him going live with his daughter on Instagram.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I was like one more. And so we took one more and I was like, thank you guys. I really appreciate it. And then we got up, like, we just went our separate ways.
Sonia, did you and PG Jello have anything similar to that? Cause then I'll tell you mine afterwards.
Yeah. I don't remember the guy's name, but he was with the, what is it, Mini Benders booth?
Uh-huh.
He's what's his name?
I think it's like, hold on.
He was on the Miz and Mrs. show. And then so, like, I went by their booth at first, and then I told him that Jello recognized him from the Miz and Mrs. show, where he was trying to get a souvenir of this one wrestler that it had to have the moon belly, not a star on the belly.
Oh,
it had
to
have a moon. So he was like, oh, great, I'm known as Moon Belly. And then the other guy he's sitting with was like, I was on the episode too, but we ended up running into him in the elevators too, and then we were just talking to him. It was kind of awkward though, because I think he was upset about us calling him Moon Belly.
Did you get a picture?
No.
Oh. Maybe that would have mellowed him up. Bro, let's get your picture. And I'm like, oh, okay. Then you know, they get all happy. But, you know, me.
I don't know if he turned red or if his tan was just red. Oh, it was Matt Cardona.
Matt Cardona, you're right. That's the way. And he was in a booth over there,
oh,
not too far
okay.
from us. Also, yeah, he was right there. But
yeah, he was really cool.
And Nicolette.
Brian Myers was the other guy.
Yeah, Brian Myers has been his partner forever. But yeah. I don't know about you, Nicolette, but I think very, very underrated or whatever. When he used to be, what was Matt Cardona's name in WWE?
Ryder.
Yeah, Zack Ryder. Dude, he had a match with Dolph Ziggler that was 5 stars or whatever. So I think, dude, he's very, very underrated. But, you know, here's me. We finish, you know, we had a long day or whatever. I get in the elevator, and it's myself, Nicolette, Arn Anderson, his son, and then the girl that we had on that you said you just got signed to AEW. So she
was in there, Ashley.
So she was in there with their boyfriend, and I thought it was Ricochet. So I'm talking to Arn. You're going to be here all 3 days? Or, yeah, bro. He goes, oh, maybe I'll see you tomorrow. I go, okay, I'll be here. And he looks at me, and he's staring at me, and I go, I'm looking, what? And then he gets off the thing, and Nicolette goes, dude, that's Trey McGill. And I'm like, oh, my God. So I called Trey McGill Ricochet. Needless to say, he wasn't too happy with me or whatever. But hey, I'm old, bro. I don't know. I always blame it on not having my glasses or whatever. So I totally botched that or whatever. So, but you know, we ran. It was a lot of people, and I knew that was going to happen. Well, the first day after everything was over, there was a ton of people in that bar. I mean, they all just went to go have a couple of beers or whatever because it was the first day, so a lot of them were going to be back. The second day, which was Saturday, was the big day. So I took a small gander in there. Because
were you at the bar where the fight was? Were you at the bar where the fight was with the Cabo?
Well, you know what? We went to go check, and then when we came back out, I was talking to the lady, and I saw the people from the hotel trying to get him out of there. And he was still talking smack. He wanted to fight the security and all that. So what happened?
I just had missed it, but Dante, the dude from the Kayfabe clothing, he was telling us that a fan just tried to get, I guess he just got drunk and tried to get crazy with him, thinking he's a wrestler, and then got beat up by him real quick.
We got there right when they were throwing him out, and he still wanted to fight. You know, he still was talking stuff or whatever, but then they just kind of kept, you know, walking him towards the door. Finally, once he got to the, they pushed him out and just slammed it real quick because it was locked. So there's always a knucklehead that wants to do that, huh? What's wrong with these people?
Yeah. Beer balls.
They're just dumb. They're just dumb. So we didn't get to see, I saw a lot of people in there drinking, but I didn't want to, you know, I was looking for Ric Flair. I was like, dude, if Ric Flair's in there, I will buy his drink. I will buy him some Skoll, chewing tobacco, whatever he wants.
Ric Flair's
to stand
line
there.
Was so long.
Yeah. Well, the three longest lines that I saw was Ric Flair, Goldberg, which I didn't expect, and Sasha Banks. Dude, Sasha Banks' line was for, which I kind of figured that.
They had
or whatever.
Their own rooms, though, didn't they?
Yeah. Dude, when you have not only – because even Bret Hart didn't have his own room. He had a table and he had a pretty long line, but he didn't have his own room. So you know when you go to WrestleCon and you have to have your own room because you got so many people, I mean, I would say that means you're a superstar. Would you agree, Sonya?
Yeah. Yes. I'm surprised, though, that Goldberg had one over him, you know? Like, I thought people would want to see Bret Hart more than Goldberg. But I guess not.
Yeah, you couldn't pay me to stay in line and wait for Goldberg. So Ric Flair was the only person that I wanted to see. I caught a quick gander of him from the steps or whatever. So, I mean, that was cool. So we'll take it around the horn, including PG Jello. But we'll start with Nicolette. Nicolette, who was the person that you wanted to see the most and actually got to see at WrestleCon?
Well, two things. One, I paid to see the Gunn Boys, which were Billy Gunn's two sons, Colton Gunn and Austin Gunn. And that was definitely worth it. I noticed that they didn't have a line. I think that males want to look like them, and you got to work really hard for that. So I don't think that the guys wanted to meet them. And I think that if you're a girl, you're kind of nervous and, like, intimidated. Both of the boys are extremely nice looking. I mean, their dad, for being an older man, he's nice looking too.
He's in shape too.
Oh, yeah. I paid my money. I came back. I don't know if the boys ran laps prior to that or if they had Tiger Bomb on. I could feel their, like, heat radiating. I was just so nervous. I was like, whoa. Like, I was blown away. I was like, okay, I got my photos. I'm good. I got to meet them. But I felt like when I got to meet Senta, and they were, like, kind of cleaning up their booth. I told Drew Masters, I'm going to go over there and go tell them they were my inspiration for my tattoo. And I was kind of just, like, standing there at the table, and I told the translator, like, hey, I don't want to buy anything or I don't want a photo, but I just want you to translate for me that they were my inspiration for my tattoo. And then they were, like, I guess he told them, and then I just heard, like, Mira, Mira. And then Senta was, like, oh, can I photo? And I'm thinking, like, you don't have to ask me. Like, of course you can. But I thought he wanted to take a photo of the tattoo. And he, like, jumped in it. And I still had my cell phone in my pocket. And then I was like, is it okay if I take a photo? Like, I don't want him to be like, no, it's $25. And he was like, yeah, whatever you need. Yeah, yeah. And he's like, did it hurt? And I was like, oh, no, no, no. I was like, okay, now I paid off my ink. I got a free photo with Senta. I'm good to go. Like, this is perfect.
No, for the people listening, when we did the Lucha Expo, Tessa Blanchard had a hell of a line, and Daga was down there with her. So I said, hey, try to get him up on the podcast or whatever. So Nicolette went down there, and she took a picture with Daga or whatever, and she comes back up, and I said, hey, did you give Daga the $10? Because I didn't see you give it to him. She goes, no, was he charging them? Like, yeah, it's $10. But he didn't even say anything, Nicolette.
No, I think, like, because Tessa had this really long line. This is when they were still together. And then, like, everybody was waiting for Tessa. And I was like, oh, well, I don't want to care. Like, I was just going to get a photo with you and keep going. And then he kind of, like, waved me over. And he said something in Spanish. I don't know if he said, I need $10. And then I was like, I just, like, took the photo. And so I walked away. And he didn't say anything. But, like, security didn't tackle me. So I was like, okay, I guess I'm okay if I kept on walking.
Hey, that was cool though. So let's take it to Sonya. I know you're a big Mick Foley fan or whatever, and you got to see him.
Yeah.
Was that the main one you were interested in, or who else?
Mick Foley was the main one that I wanted to see, but I was glad that I got to meet Nia, Trish, and Lita, and X-Pac. Though I was actually really excited to meet X-Pac because I was into the Generation X thing. That was, like, my favorite shit ever.
Yeah, that was cool. That was cool. What about PG Jello?
I think my favorite was Trish and Lita.
I don't know. They at the beginning, the first couple of days, they had a pretty big long line or whatever. They were they down at the basement?
Yeah, they were downstairs.
Huh? Yeah, for the people listening to us, it's weird because you had the first floor or whatever, and that's where, you know, Goldberg and Sasha Banks and everybody else. Then you went down to the second floor, and that's where we were. So it was us and Juice Robinson and the New Japan guys and Honky Tonk Man and Sergeant Slaughter and them. But then there was another one downstairs, like almost like a basement, and there was a lot of big names down there. I mean, Trish and Lita and them were there. Mickey James was down there, Devon Dudley, and, of course, Billy Gunn and his kids. And the what are the tag champs' names over there? Those morenitos with the scissors?
Oh, the Acclaimed.
The Acclaimed, yeah. They're standing on chairs or whatever. So.
Boogie Bat was down there, too.
Yeah. Well, you know, we had this lady. We got in the elevator to go up, and the daughter was telling the mom in Spanish. She goes, you know, no, come in, don't be scared. And I look at her and I go, in Spanish, I go, are you scared? She goes, no. She goes, I didn't know all these people were here or whatever. And I go, oh, it's wrestling. You know, the wrestlers are here or whatever. And she goes, oh, because I took a picture with somebody and I didn't know who it was. So she showed me the picture and it was Boogeyman. She was like, what the hell is going on? Because that dude hasn't lost a step. That dude is still in shape. He still looks good. His makeup was on point, so he still looked, you know, like a something, you know, So that, out of all the people, that's who she ran into, or whatever. So it was pretty cool. But it's funny because like Kalisto, he gets his gear done by Quiros, who we all get our gear done because Quiros used to be in South Central LA, and he'd measure you and stuff, and you go pick up your stuff. So when I saw him, I'm like, hey, bro, does Quiros still make your gear? And he's like, no, bro. And I go, yeah, he moved to Nebraska. He goes, yeah, because now everything's through Venmo and all that stuff. So it was cool to have someone come in and talk with them. And then it was funny because, you know, they see so many people and I want to talk to them, but I don't want to, you know, like them to go, hey, bro, it cost or whatever. So like Mil Muertes and them on the last day when we were leaving, I seen them and I go, hey, bro, thanks for your hospitality, man. You're always nice. And he goes, oh, sure, bro, no problem. But I never went to his booth. But I just wanted to say that so we could talk a little bit. And they were so nice, all of them, the Juice Robinson, too. I'm like, bro, thanks for being so hospitable, bro. You're a nice guy. He says, yeah, bro, no problem, you know. and all that. So that's how I got to talk to those guys or whatever. So we'll take it around the horn again. Because Nicolette and Sonia and even PG Jill, they went off on their own quite a bit, you know, just to go see who's out there and talk or whatever. So that's how I was approaching people. So we'll start with Nicolette. Is that how you were approaching people? Just go, hey, we got a podcast, or how did that go?
I kind of approach the people like that I already know, or I kind of wait for like you to tell me hello, because I don't want to be embarrassed. I don't want somebody to be like, hey, like I have a signing from this time to this time, so I got to go. And I always think, like, I don't know if people actually like remember me or know me. And that's the thing too, like when Danny Limelight was like, have we met before? I was like, well, you know, I'm Fabi's daughter. Like, if, you know, if you see him, you've probably seen me. So that's that. Oh, I didn't know that was your dad. But it's like, hey, if you guys want to come on my dad's podcast, you guys can plug whatever you want. You know, it's open. People were like, well, how long? Like, because they had to go back to their booth. I'm like, however long you want it to be. You can only do 10 minutes. I'm fine with that. Whatever you can plug really quick, you know. Okay, is it audio? Is it video? No, it's only audio. Okay, perfect. We're just going to take one photo if that's okay with you. Okay, great. I don't think I got a lot of denying ones, but I know, like, we were on a time crunch with Santana. We were trying to get Santana Jackson in there. I'm like, give me your phone, Bobby. He's calling. Wait, he's going this way.
Yeah, hurry.
Yeah, so.
But that was a little bit of the problem is, you know, somebody would come over, but we had people on air, and I couldn't just cut them off and get to them. So it took a minute. So, Sonia, what about you and PG Jello? Did you just kind of approach them and go, hey, we got a podcast, come on? Because you did get us that girl that just got signed by AEW, because everybody was working to get people on there.
Yeah, well, some people I would introduce, like, you know, myself as my dad's daughter, and then I would talk to them about Jello training, and then I would mention the podcast and then try to get them to come. And with the girl, there was like this little girl, she was like a vendor's daughter there, and she was like doing little like gymnastic stuff, so we started talking about that. And then I got into the podcast with her and wanting her to come on.
Yeah.
And then she told me she just signed to AEW and all that, and then so that's just how it happened.
Yeah, she was in shape. She was in good shape. What about PG Jello?
Well, me and Anna we walked around and we were passing out flyers and stuff, and we were asking, like, pretty much everybody who we had a flyer to join, like, we were handing a lot of flyers to the wrestlers as well. So we were asking them if they wanted to do our podcast, and I've dealt with a lot of good ones, and some were, like, really sweet, and we're like, no, I can't do it because of, like, legal reasons and, like, blah, blah, and then, like, some of them there, I'm not going to mention any names.
Billy Gunn.
He was a total douche. Like, it was just, like, uncalled for.
Well, don't feel bad, because he was like that with a lot of people. You know, I don't know if it, because he's been in the business so long or whatever, and he thinks, I don't know, but a few people told me that. I mean, he was cool. Yeah, it could be. He was cool with me, but see, when I approached him, I watch and see everything, so I know that he goes to Golds in Venice, and I know he went at 4 o'clock in the morning to train with a certain person and stuff like that, so we start talking about that, and we were cool, but people were coming up, and he's like, no. And then you see him, he's a big dude, so you're just like, okay. And then you just kind of walk away. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it happens. I mean, you got to take the good with the bad.
Like,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, we were just kind of like, this is why your line, they like, you have no line.
That's
like,
what you mean.
and I was like, because we gave him one of our business cards and stuff, and I was like, give me my goddamn card back. Like,
forget you. We just be like, forget you, just don't kill me. Or whatever. So, but
I could just choke him. I'll choke him out. He's old. He doesn't got that spunk no more.
We'll just get him. I'll get him low, like around the legs, and then you just get him up high, put him in the Mataleon or whatever, and boom.
You had the gi, so it was perfect.
Yeah, we'll just double team him. We'll just choke him. We'll go cross collar or whatever, man. He'll be done. Well, that was awesome. But I got to tell you, the highlight, and as you guys know, as you heard me all day, is I wanted to get Christopher Daniels and I wanted to get Frankie, because I came up with those guys when they were struggling to get there, and I wanted people to know, you know, the dues that they paid, you know, to get to where they were.
Yeah.
But the last time I had seen Christopher Daniels was at Samoa Joe's wedding. So when we were talking, he's like, hey, what's going on? I go, dude, I've been trying to get you forever. And I said, I'll come down. And I'm like, well, this is my daughter. This is Nicolette or whatever. And he looks and he goes, oh, my God, is that little girl that was at Joe's? And I go, yeah. And I go, well, what about your kids? They got to be teenagers by now. He goes, no, my youngest is 23 years old. I was like, oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you know, the last time I saw them, they were little kids or whatever. So it was just nice to get him on because I just wanted the people to know, you know, what he's been through to get to where he is today and stuff like that. And I had the vehicle to do it, you know, so I was just happy that I had the vehicle to do that. And the same with Frankie. I don't know if you heard the podcast, but, you know, we all used to work for cheerleader Melissa's dad, Doug Anderson,
yeah.
And he used to really take care of us. And that I didn't know, but I had took Nyvonne and Nicolette with me because he got us a room. But I didn't know he put Frankie and I in the same room. And so Frankie walks in, and I got the whole family. I go, dude, I'm so sorry. I didn't go. But, and you know, we were just going to drive home. But he said, bro, you got your family here or whatever. Dude, you guys just keep the room. I'll go ahead and drive home. And I'm like, no, you don't have to do that, bro. But, you know, he did. So stuff like that you never forget, you know, because he didn't have to do
yeah.
that. He was a way bigger star than I was. But, you know, he said, yeah, no problem, bro. So I wanted people to know that, and I had the vehicle to do it. So that meant the world to me. I mean, you know what I'm saying, Sonia? It's stuff like that.
Yeah.
You have the vehicle to do it. Yeah. So it was
yeah.
pretty cool. That was a highlight for me. Before we let you get out of here, Nicolette, what was the biggest highlight of the whole WrestleCon for you? That was the one for me.
You know, I just enjoyed being there. It was work, but I kept on saying too, like, thank you, Manny Vincent Pinson, for putting us up for 3 days, for giving
yeah.
us vendor
yeah.
passes, for taking a chance on us. You know, it really
yeah.
meant a lot. I saw Chaz and Drew when they did stop by, and you know, nobody was laughing at Drew, but he was like, oh my goodness, he's like, I can't believe all these people are here. And he's like, yeah, I just went to go get a photo with Juice Robinson. And then we're
yeah.
like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then like we were like, where did Drew go? Look around. We're like, oh, he's in line with Benda. And he's like, yeah, I just wanted to take a photo of Benda. And then it was like those moments. And then it was like the random moment. And Chaz was like, I ate a bowl of cereal this morning. Okay. It was just like those like.
Yeah.
Yes. It was like those like highlight fun moments. You know, like I offered to rent Fabi
yeah.
a line scooter because his hips hurt. No, he didn't want it. It was just like we were able
yeah.
to work but still have fun. Ruben joined us, you know, like that
yeah.
first day. And, you know, we would probably never got to spend that much time with Ruben. You know,
yeah.
it was a way to, for us to tell us him thank
you
for booking
you know
me,
what?
You know.
Hey, man, I'll put this out there, too. We'll take it around the horn with this, too. Even Chivo Jr., you know, he's young, and he's been training for a while, and he's only had, like one or two matches. But he was like, bro, I want to go talk to this person. But I go, dude, you're
yeah.
here at WrestleCon. You can be Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch, man. Mark out all you want. Go get in line. Do what you want to. Forget that noise or whatever. But this is what annoys me. Okay, and we'll take it around the horn, and then we'll get out of here, and I'll let Sonia and them give their highlight. This is the only sport that's like that. Like, if you're a football fan and you love Tom Brady, you wear his jersey, nobody says nothing. But if you're a Goldberg fan and you're wearing a Goldberg
yeah.
thing, look at this mark. What's Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch? This is JoJo Starbucks or whatever they call you that, and I hate that. I hate that. I'll wear whatever I want. Yeah, dude, I marked that when I saw Juice that was behind us and Honky Tonk Man was across. Forget that noise, dude. You guys do whatever you want. Now, first of all, give me your thoughts on that. I think when you're at something like WrestleCon or even not, if you want to wear a shirt that somebody has, do whatever you want, right?
I didn't hear that. Most of the time I heard people say, like, oh, that's cool you're wearing, or, like, you know, you're dressed like this person. You know, like, I see people
yeah.
actually giving props on each other's clothes.
Yeah,
I even took
a picture with that mini Hulk Hogan guy that was
yeah.
walking around because I thought that was cool, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
I don't get the belts. I mean, I don't get walking around with the belt or whatever. I mean, that
yes,
just means it's enough cash. Or whatever, I don't get that. But let's take it to PG Jello. Do you? I mean, I think you can wear whatever you want. I just don't get the belts. What do you think?
Jello. Oh, sorry. What was that?
Okay, we were talking about you know, Chivo Jr. was there, and he was
yeah.
and even Drew Masters, who's going to wrestle for the belt, and they want to go take pictures, and they want to, you know, whatever, but then people are like, oh, my God, you're such a Mark, and you're Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch. But I told them both, dude, get in line, take your picture,
yeah,
buy your gear. Yeah, wear whatever you want. So I don't like that. I don't like the fact that, because like we're talking about sports. If you have a football team, you can wear your Raiders jersey. Nobody gives it a second thought. But, man, if you go walk around with a Goldberg jersey, you're a big mark or whatever. So give us your thoughts on that. I think you should be able to wear whatever you want.
I think so, too, because it's like you're – like that's the whole point. You're fan – like you're being a fan. Like
yeah.
For me, I was fangirling over, like, everybody. Like,
yeah.
I was just like, oh, my God. Like, I remember seeing these people when I watched wrestling with my grandpa or, like, watching wrestling with my mom. Like, it's just – I was like, oh, my God. Like, it's so crazy being in this room. And it's like – I love wearing our UWC shirts, but I was like, man, I wish I had, like, a little Goldberg shirt or like
yeah.
something like that.
Yeah.
But it was also cool rocking my grandpa's face all weekend.
Yeah. But you should be able to wear whatever you want. I mean,
yeah.
Nicolette, what
yeah.
do you think? I mean, people give us crap about that all the time.
You know, I saw somebody that had the Cody Rhodes Nightmare tattoo on their neck, the same one like Cody
yeah.
has. And I was like, hey, I was like, I like your ink. I was like, that's cool. Like, I'm thinking like, man, you're a dedicated fan. And I think too, that went back to like, I always see people, I feel like, 9 out of 10 people who are in love with wrestling have a Blue Demon tattoo. And I always like
yeah.
SoCal Crazy. He has his own mask tattooed on his arm. And so when I got sick and I got better, I told Fabi, hey, we're going to go get Cedo Melo tattooed on us. And I said, I'm going to get mine on my right side. I said, you can get yours wherever on your body, but I'm going to get mine on my ribs. And Fabi was like, oh, I'm not a B-I-T-C-H. I don't get tattoos on my ribs. And I was like, okay, you can put it on your legs. So his looked better than mine because he's lighter and it fitted his calf. Way better. Yeah. I should have told him that. And so mine's on my ribs. And I think that's why Fenta was like, hey, out of everybody you could have picked, you picked my tattoo. So like, at least he
yeah.
gave me props for that. You know, he appreciated that support.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
so
you
it's
should like, be able
it's
to,
all of us at the table.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah
we wouldn't
be
here,
you
know, if it wasn't for the fans.
Absolutely.
It was really great getting to hang out with all you guys too and getting to know everybody better.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
All
yeah.
spending those 3 days there.
And for the people listeners, by no means was it like a vacation. We worked from the
no.
time we got there until the time we
yeah.
left because it was just a steady flow of people. And then I would be like, hey, Sonya was like, hey, such and such is ready. Can you put them on? Yeah, yeah. And then it's like, Jessica, Chris Daniels said he was going to leave by 12:30. Can you go get them or whatever? So it was like it was a lot of work. So that was cool. But it was even cooler just to kind of see the wrestlers out of their element and just to talk like about
yeah.
normal stuff.
How many times
you know, like
did we hear? How many times did we hear? It's so hot in here. I'm sweating.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
so hot in here.
Yeah,
it was hot.
Until the lights went off.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was crazy. So, you know what? I think all of us had a good experience, even though it was work. And, you know, I had to go home and go get my laptop. And it was just a lot of stuff. And it was a little overwhelming. But, I mean, it was great overwhelming
yeah.
or whatever. So we're going to come back.
Yeah.
We're going to wrap it up. But Nicolette Marie, a million thank yous for coming and helping me and dealing with an old man.
Thank you.
You know, having to help
no,
me.
No
and I'm
problem.
I'm like, oh, my God, this is all uphill. Please, you can wait for me. And I look up and Nicolette's a mile ahead of me. But anyways, so don't forget for the people listening, April 30th, big show. It's the Pistol Pete Memorial Cup 2, and it's going to be myself, Nicolette Marie, and Azriel versus Guy Cool, Candy Girl, and JBD. And it just keeps going from there, man. So check out UnitedWrestlingCouncil.com. Get all your information on there. Nicolette Marie, a million thank you for coming on. We're going to take a quick break, and then Sonya and I will wrap it up. We'll be right back after this. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you, man.
Is your local camera store, no matter where you live. In Torrance at Hawthorne and Pacific Coast Highway or online at paulsphoto.com, we've got the cameras and video gear that you need to slam your next assignment, your next vacation, your next job, or just your next party. We've got the expert advice to help you, the budding wrestler and creator, to make amazing videos, to get recognized on YouTube. Our classes at Creative Photo Academy will help you rock it. They'll get you the knowledge you need and inspire you to be a top 10 performer. Even the Hulk loves to come here and get his photos processed in the lab, where we can scan old photos and videos, get them to you online, and help preserve your memories. Paul's Photo is the greatest place to get your photos taken care of.
I still haven't got to see those photos, but if you look online, you'll see Paul's Photo banner, Metroflex banner, you know, and all the people that have supported us and everything, so it was pretty cool. But,
yeah,
Sonia, when I was, because I still work for the same company, but when I was a materials manager, they used to have a corporate, once a year, they'd send us out to Nashville to go get all the latest, you know, stuff or whatever. We had to take these classes and all this crap. So
yeah.
the third year that I went to, we had some downtime. Well, it's right by the Grand Ole Opry. And I don't know about you, but you know, country music's okay for some people, but I can't sit through a concert for that. So I took off and went to go check out some sites and stuff. And the property out there is ridiculous. You can get a 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom house on the lake, literally. You know, it's like right at your front door, and it was like $340,000. And I'm like, dude, this is where I'm retiring. And when I retire, I'm coming here, and I'm gonna be 800 pounds. I'm gonna smoke cigars, and I'm gonna chew so much tobacco it's gonna make your head spin. And this is where I'm going. So when I saw Honky Tonk Man the first day, it's cool just to talk about normal stuff, because a lot of times, you know, wrestling's cool and all that, but just to talk Norman. I told him, I was going, hey, bro, you know, I went down to, I said, are you actually from Tennessee? And he kind of looked at me, dude, not everything's a gimmick. Yeah, man. I said, well, you know, I went to Nashville, and I was telling him that whole story or whatever. And he goes, dude, if you saw a 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom house on the water for $340,000, you should have got it that day. He goes, because there ain't no way that's going down. It's just going to go up or whatever. So it was just cool, you know, to talk about stuff like that, you know, to not even be talking about wrestling or whatever. So that's what was one of the things that was really cool about WrestleCon, is just talking about normal stuff with big stars that, you know.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, yeah, just to see them out of their element or whatever is cool.
Yeah.
You know, they're not doing a gimmick or whatever. It's just, you know, Wayne Ferris, the wrestler, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
So that was cool with me. Enzo farting and trying to blame it on everybody else. Okay. that was another story. But even him, you know, Sonia, we were talking, and I'm like, dude, you got a bad rap. I mean, you know, I thought your stuff was cool. Everybody's saying you were a gimmick.
It was funny.
Yeah, and I said, I enjoyed
it,
dude.
Yeah,
I thought it was cool, too. I don't know what the heck, but I guess, you know, the hardcore wrestlers, you know, they don't like that and all that. And, you know, I don't want to divulge too much, but he, you know, he was at the end of his contract with MLW, and he had to put over Micro Man. And Micro Man is like three foot tall.
Like,
and just to be able like wrestling the baby.
It's like mini-me. Yeah.
Did you?
I know.
I know you don't have cable, but yesterday or Tuesday was MLW, and they showed the highlights from it. And you're scared to death because you're thinking, this little guy's going to die any minute. But he was able to work with them and make it look, you know, good. Because, I mean, how do you put over a 3-foot person? But he did it. So just that alone, you know, we talked about that. And I said, well, dude, you know, forget what they say. Do your thing or whatever. He said, well, you know, I got this going on and that going on, so I'm going to try that, you know, see how that works out. If not, I might be back or whatever. And I was like, dude, do your thing, man.
Yeah.
You know, if you listen to what everybody else says, you're never going to get anywhere. You do you, you know, whatever. So, again, cool just to talk like that. But, you know, and he, since we saw him, he was there with us for all 3 days, eventually you get to know somebody or whatever. So just to wrap it up, I would say, you know, out of 10 out of 10, I had a 10. You know, easy. I mean, it was a little bit of work, but it was enjoyable. So, I mean, would you say the same? I mean, was there like a major highlight, you know, besides seeing Mick Foley and seeing these wrestlers out of the element, or you think that was cool?
Everything was great. When we were hanging out and doing everything was great. Like, that was, everything was the highlight of it.
Yeah.
There wasn't like a part where it was like.
It's funny too, because, you know, I got to get this out there too, because, you know, I worked for XPW. And Sonia, did you see the XPW documentary that was on the Vice Channel?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, well, Vice Channel did a whole bunch of different documentaries on stuff. And they did one on XPW. And Rob Black, that's what he did. He was an adult film producer. And,
yeah.
You know, stuff happened or whatever. And he ended up going to jail, like federal prison. And it was for like something, not like he killed somebody, but for sending
tax evasion?
Stuff. For sending material overseas without the proper permits and the proper whatever. I mean, it was just,
yeah, that'll
dude,
get you.
Yeah. You know, something like that. So when I worked for him, he was brash and, oh, you know, whatever. But, you know, most of my dealings with Kevin Kleinrock, so the interaction that I did have him, he was like, Fabi, this is what I need from you. I need you to do this. I need you this. And this is what's going to happen. It's the new Black Panthers. So just do your thing. And I'm like, all right, cool. Bam, I did my thing. Paid me, no problem. And then he said, we got this coming up, bro, because I only dealt with them twice. And just straight, this is what I want, bro, no problem. Bam, I got paid. So when these people talk bad about him, I can't do that. You know, he was always cool
good
with me, so I can't jump on the bandwagon or whatever. So when I saw him over there, you know, he was a totally different person. Not that he was an asshole to me, but he was just a different person. He was more businesslike. He cut his hair. You know, you could tell it's like, dude, it's time to get back to business or whatever. So we were talking, and I was telling him, you know, that I go, you know, a lot of people are afraid to come to your booth because they were coming to me. Go, bro, I'd like to go check out XPW, but, you know, I don't know, is this guy crazy? And I'm like, no, dude, he, you know, he's a businessman. You know, go check him out. So we talked and all that, and he goes, yeah, bro, you know, I appreciate it or whatever. So he sent Jasmine Sinclair over to my booth, and then he sent Manchichi, who I've known for a while that works for XPW, and that's what it's all about. You know, he said, thank God there's somebody here who, you know, could tell the real deal. I don't
Manchichi
remember.
Guy?
Who, oh, Manchichi, yeah, but not
yeah.
Rob Black. So because he was working for Inoki Dojo at the time, but since XPW had the rebirth, he's working over there now.
She was all yelling at him, though.
Yeah, well, she's a different bird. Or whatever you want to call it, but it's the same thing. I knew her from back in the day at when I worked for Rev Pro. So we're talking early 2000s, early like 2000 and 2001, or whatever.
Yeah.
And she was, you know, she was doing her thing or whatever. But you know, my wife never goes to nothing. She hates it all. But it was at the Norwalk Indoor Swap Meet. So we just made a day of it. We went shopping and all that stuff. And then when she saw her. She's like, hey, is that Jasmine St. Chris? And yeah. She said, well, can I go talk to her? I said, yeah, man. You know, and they ended up talking for like an hour, just about normal stuff, just about, you know, whatever.
That's cool.
Married and on the road and stuff like that. So when I saw her, I didn't think she would remember. She's like, yeah, man, I remember your wife. And we had a good talk and she was so nice and all that. And then so when she got on the air, and which you will be able to hear pretty soon, we didn't hardly talked about wrestling at all. We talked about, you know, what it's like to be her and how I could be 57 years old and look like an old man, and she's in her early 50s and hasn't aged one bit, you know. Or because I'm looking at her, I go, well, what's the secret? I go, oh, my God, you look just like you did yesterday. But even though she was an adult film star, she didn't party. She didn't drink. She did nothing. You know, that's why she still looks. So people got to hear that on the podcast. So, I mean, just that was cool, you know, just to see a normal, you know, that you are a normal person, but just this is your job or whatever. So it was really cool. It was far and away the best time I ever had. And just to and I told her that too. I said, you know, you coming on this podcast legitimizes us as a real company, you know, because we had you on.
Yeah.
We didn't even talk wrestling. Talked about something else or whatever. So it worked out really well. And it's just lucky that I'm old and that I've done so much, because it's like Drew Masters, he goes, bro, I didn't know you know Frankie Kazarian. I go, dude, it's just because I'm old. I go, I was wrestling with them back in the late 90s, you know, early 2000s or whatever. Just, oh, but there's no substitute for experience. So, you know, I'm here to tell you, I think I could speak for PG Jello, and I think I could speak for, and I got to tell, I just got to be honest with you, Sonia. I really wish that Pete could have been there just at least one day, to see what has evolved, you know, from because that was Manny's idea. The whole reason he's doing this is to keep that whole thing alive, you know, because he is the one who's, and it was funny because we had Jesse Hernandez on, and I went to him. And tried out at his place or whatever, which was rough, but it was too far. You know, it was in the Inland Empire.
Yeah.
So I wasn't going to, I said, forget it. You know, I guess this isn't for me. But then when I met Manny and he's like, bro, go see Pistol Pete, man. He goes, it's going to be rough, but if you got what it takes, he's going to get you there. So none of this would have been possible if it wouldn't have been for that. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
I think he, you know, was looking down and going, man, I am just happy that they decided to do it and look what it's become. You know what I mean? And my family's involved.
Yeah.
So
well,
if I could have one wish, it would have been for Pete to be there, just to be a part of it, just to be a part of even one day.
For real.
You know what I mean?
That's,
so
that's a big
before we,
that I missed.
Yeah.
With my
but before we continue, what's the status? I mean, I know everybody has lives and, you know, kids make communions and, you know, and me too. You know, I sometimes it took a lot for me to get out of work to do it. But
is
he still going
to
be at
work right now?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he is. It just has to do with his work. Like right now he's having, I guess a lot of people are either quitting or just not showing up sometimes. So he has to fill in for them when that happens. And
have you talked to him since?
My little Jazzy Poo's, she's doing her
communion.
She's doing jiu-jitsu. She just got a belt promotion on Saturday. That's one of the reasons why he couldn't.
Yeah.
So,
well,
yeah,
you can't miss that.
He's very busy with. Yeah, he couldn't.
You can't miss that because then you'll be like, dude, I wasn't there. So have you talked to him since we came back? And what do you say?
I talked to him. I'm supposed to see him this weekend, so I'm going to give him the things to upload. And I'll probably talk to him about not being there either way.
Yeah, because I can talk forever or whatever, but production skills are slim to minimum or whatever. So we need him to help put all that together. Then he can hear it and go, dude, you got to turn your mic up or their mic up or whatever. So hopefully we'll get all that together. And then by the next one or next time we go out or whatever, it'll all be, you know, good to go. But I think very, very successful. I think Pete would be proud, you know, of what has been accomplished or whatever. So I think Manny did it right by doing all that. I mean, I know I give him a hard time or whatever, but it's just, you know, and it's funny because when we all sat down or whatever, I'm like, dude, I just want you to succeed, bro. That's it. I you know, if you make $1 million and I don't see any of it, I don't care. I just want you to succeed. So he's making the effort or whatever, and he's making everybody a part of it to make it a family. So to me, I think that's what it's all about. Would you agree?
I agree 100%.
Well, with that being said, hey, man.
Absolutely.
I agree 100%. But with that being said, big show April 30th. I'm telling you, man, you guys got to come down and check it out. We've ordered since the show, since we started getting everything together, we've had to order 60 more chairs. That's how well that the pre-sale is going. And like I said, all the stars are aligned. So when whoever wins the second annual Pistol Pete Memorial Cup Trophy, it's going to be Pete, Sonia, and PG Jello presenting that bad boy. So, you know, it's funny because when I was talking to Santana, he was asking me about it. And I go, yeah. And he goes, so if we win, that trophy's coming with us, right? And I go, well, you can take it for a little while, but you got to bring it back. And he's like, yeah. I go, and, dude, that's the legacy right there. So Pete Jr., Sonia, and Jello, they're the ones who are going to, you know, present it. And it's a whole thing. It's like, bro, man, you know, that's going to be huge and all that. So the buzz is huge and it's going to be packed and it's going to be a happen. So I highly recommend that you get down there. So if you want to check it out, go to UnitedWrestlingCouncil.com. Check that out. We got a bunch of stuff going on. We're passing out flyers. The little QR code is on there. If you want to click on that and make sure you check it out. So I know it's Easter Sunday. We really didn't want to meet on Easter Sunday, but I got so much stuff I got to give Manny, you know, because there's certain budgets that we got to adhere to, and there's certain, and we got to order some more chairs, you know, and I have everything music-wise ready for the DJ, but now since we added, you know, Guerrero Nuclear and Rickster and Robbie and Domino, you know, we still had to get all that together and all that, so we just want, when we get to that show on that Sunday, we just want everything ready, and then we just push the button and go. Yeah. So that's why, you know, we meet. And Sonia, you and Jello know how much it takes. We're meeting all the time. And get this straight. Yeah. That's how we got Guerrero Nuclear, because, you know, we had to sit down at that meeting. And, hey, well, Sonia, can you get a hold of him? And, and I was calling him Venom Guerrero. And he goes, no, it's always been Guerrero Nuclear. I'm like, all right. So we're all over the place. But we definitely look forward to it. It's going to be huge, I'm telling you. Not just because. but what we put into it is really, really going to make it happen. So, Sonia, a million thank yous for coming on, man, and putting up with me and, you know, how I am or whatever. And, of course, Nicolette Marie for coming on, talking about her interactions with FTR and Billy Gunn and the kids or whatever, the guns.
Yeah.
And, of course, BG Jello talking about seeing Goldberg and stuff like that. And, of course, Manny who put it all together. So we really appreciate it, man. I think, you know, he knows, you know, what to do. So we'll see. Now, you know, Sonia, you know, you got to take a little bit. I promise you I'm trying my hardest to try to give you guys the tools to work with because I wasn't even supposed to be here today. But I maneuvered around. But after April 30th, you know, I can't. Even if I want to, I can't. So we're really trying to figure it out, to try to get it going, because this is the vehicle that we get everything out there.
I got my new email so people can email me questions now.
Perfect. Can you give that out real quick?
Yes, it is S. Marquez, 32, UWC @gmail.com.
UWC.com. So you can put that out. I don't know if you want to put it on your social media or whatever. It'd be good for you to take some of the questions, because when we have ladies on here or whatever, the questions they send me, I'm like, dude, don't be a keyboard. Yeah. I'm not asking that, you know, or whatever.
I'll read it.
The one I get the most, is there an OnlyFans that we can see this person at or whatever? And I'm like, dude, check it out yourself. I'm not the pimp daddy or whatever. So, all right, Sonia, a million thank yous for hanging with me. Please tell PG Jello we're most appreciative. And I'm hoping we're going to work something out so that you guys are back next Thursday. So we'll talk about that Sunday. Manny and I will keep working on that, and then we'll get back as far as that. We'll keep everybody up to date on that, all right?
All right. Awesome.
All right. It seems like the time went by pretty quick, huh?
It did,
Yeah, you're supposed to listen because you talk
It always
much,
doesn't work. It's fine.
All right. We'll see everybody real soon. April 30th, man, be there. If you're not going to be there, you're going to miss out. All right, everybody. We'll be right back.
Yeah.